Om sabat sabat yadi puram haravati daksho
Om sabat yadi puram haravati daksho
Dure suhrin matitarosa sushona tristya Tatapyamana makaro rakanakra chakra Yasma adad udatya udhabayanga vepo Margam sapadya radipuram haravat Margam sapadyari puram haravati daksho
Margam sapadyari puram haravati daksho
Dure surin matita rosa shushona dristya
Dure surin matita rosa shushona dristya
Tatapyamana makaro Rakanakra chakra Yasma adad udadhir udha bhayanga vepo Margam sapatyari puram haravati daksho Dure surin matita rosa shushona dristya
Dure surin matita rosa shushona dristya
Tatapyamana makaro rakanakra chakra
Tatapyamana makaro rakanakra chakra
Yasma adadu dirura bhayanga vepo
Yasma
Unto whom Adat gave Udadhi, the great Indian Ocean, Udhabhai, affected by fear, Angaveba, bodily trembling, Margam, way, Supadi, Shapadi, quickly, Adipuram, the city of the enemy, Haravat, like that of Hara Mahadev. Didaksho, desiring to burn to ashes. Dure, at a long distance. Suhrit, intimate friend. Matita, being aggrieved. Rosa, in anger. Sushona, red hot. Dristya, by such a glance. Tatapyamana, burning in heat. Makara, sharks. Uraga, snakes. Nakra, crocodiles. Chakra, circle. The personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, being aggrieved for his distant intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravana, with red-hot eyes, like those of Hara. Who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven, the great ocean, trembling with fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead has every sentiment of a sentient being, like all other living beings, because He is the chief and original living entity, the supreme source of all other living beings. He is the Nitya, or the chief eternal amongst all other eternals. He is the chief one, and all others are the dependent many. The many eternals are supported by the one eternal, and thus both eternals are qualitatively one. Due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments. But the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quantity from the sentiments of the dependent eternals. When Ramchandra was angry and showed his red hot eyes, the whole ocean became heated with that energy. So much so that the aquatics within the great ocean felt the heat. And the personified ocean trembled in fear and offered the Lord an easy path for reaching the enemy's city. The impersonalists will see havoc in this red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiment of the absolute person is transcendental to all mundane concepts of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramchandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of the personal and impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. So the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary, mundane world. Rather, the different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence. Or, in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the absolute plane. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world.
Om Agyantimidandasya Jadhanjana Salakaya Chakshurumidangena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pratamayam Tathiswapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrachataham Sahakana Raghunathanditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam Harijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Chakatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vamcha Kalpata Rubyascha Krita Sindhubya Eva Cha Arita Nam Bhava Nidhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Nityanamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashchatyadeshavadini. Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be with you again. Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir Kija, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brind Kija, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Kija. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7. Entitled Scheduled Incarnations, text number 24. Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravana with red-hot eyes, like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way, because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry red-hot eyes of the Lord. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 2. Various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are being described. In today's verse, by Krishna's grace, we are speaking about Lord Rama. I'm not sure if this verse was scheduled within the scheduled incarnations or whether it was selected for me. I don't know. I think it was scheduled. It's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada entitled this chapter Scheduled Incarnation. Sometimes words have very powerful inner meaning. Usually we don't consider
God to be on a schedule. Because schedules seem to limit us. But in this material world, when Krishna comes in his various forms, he comes according to a schedule. And this is the very principle that Srila Prabhupada is speaking about in his illustrious purport, that everything Krishna does is transcendental. It's beyond the limitations of time, geography, the modes of material nature. Krishna is Satchidananda. Lord Brahma, who's the creator of this entire universe, who actually, from the very beginning of the creation of this universe, from the very end, is ever present, watching, and who is actively empowering everyone on behalf of Krishna for this creation to operate. He begins Brahma Samhita Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Karanakara. Brahma is so powerful. Even the enemies of Vishnu, like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they worship Brahma. Because they know he's the most powerful person who can give the great benedictions within this world. But Brahma is proclaiming Ishvara Parama. There are so many Ishvaras, so many controllers. And one of the great reasons for so much trouble, conflict, and suffering in this world is we all want to be controllers. There's conflict among the insects, among the snakes and reptiles. There's conflicts amongst birds. We see so much fighting going on because this innate tendency of a conditioned soul is we want to be Ishvara. We want to be controllers. And what to speak of the animals and the whole history of humanity is so much built on events of people trying to control one another. Within a family, there's this territorial desire to be controller. Within societies, within nations, within planets, sometimes within Brahmachari Ashram. And what are the various ways we want to control? And this is such a deep-seated anartha influence that diverts and separates us from Krishna. To be controller and to be enjoyer are so inseparable. Our conception of enjoyment is to control. Because the nature of the jiva, the soul, is to find the ultimate pleasure, the ananda, in being controlled by Krishna. That's actually our nature. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us through Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swaropoi Krishna Nityadas, this was the foundational teaching that he built his whole philosophy upon. That the constitutional nature of every soul is that we are eternally servants of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is citing this verse, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanana, that there is one supreme controller and there are limitless eternally controlled. We are dependent on Krishna. From the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is Abhigya Swarat. He's all-knowing and he's completely independent. Because we're qualitatively one with Krishna, we're of the same nature of Krishna. Ananda Mayo Vyashat, we're looking for pleasure because Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure in the sense he is the supreme enjoyer of everything that exists. Bhaktaram yagyatapa samsarva lokamaheshwa. But also, it is in him that every living being, it is in our love for him and our surrender to him that every living being finds supreme enjoyment. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer in receiving and in giving. Qualitatively, we're looking for enjoyment. This is the basis of Vaishnava philosophy, that the soul is part of Krishna eternally. But when we, due to forgetfulness, are disconnected from our constitutional nature of being enjoyed by Krishna and finding our tendency to enjoy in loving Krishna and being loved by Krishna, where are we going to find that enjoyment as a soul? We want to be the enjoyer and we want to be the controller. And that's the basis of material bondage. The proprietor, the controller, the enjoyer. So we are all completely dependent on Krishna always, and Krishna is supremely independent. So if Krishna is supremely independent, why does he need to make schedules? Usually when we go on a vacation, we can put aside our schedules. Well, Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. But when he comes to this world, every propensity, every aspect of material existence is a reflection of the spiritual existence that actually has its whole perfection in Krishna. So Krishna schedules his incarnation in such a way that Krishna is supremely unpredictable because he's inconceivable. He's achintya. But yet the idea of a schedule makes his activities predictable. These apparent contradictions are part of the all-attractive nature of Krishna that charms the soul's love. So within his scheduled incarnations, and it is described that They come again and again and again. Sometimes we read about great saints from the Srimad Bhagavatam who are offering prayers to incarnations that hadn't even come yet. Because in different days of Brahma, they are coming again and again and again. How is it that Shukadev Goswami 5,000 years ago is speaking of Kalki Avatar, who's going to come long in the future? He's speaking not only about Kalki's coming, but also all the different times he's already come. So just the idea of a scheduled incarnation reveals how Krishna, who is supremely independent, it's not that he's doing things according to the limitations of material existence, but he is the supreme controller of material existence, and all limitations within material existence are only because he's made it that way. Prakriti. He's the controller of material existence. So of these scheduled incarnations, it is only being described one or two or maybe a few verses about each incarnation. And today we're reading about Lord Ramchandra. And this is one of the featured pastimes that are being described about Lord Ramchandra. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that he is time. Time is the limiting destructive force that is always present within this material existence. And it is his energy. Krishna is time within this existence, and yet it is described time in the spiritual world as conspicuous by its absence. And yet, we read in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, the Astakaliya Leela, Krishna's doing things according to time. Isn't this wonderful? Krishna's time, the destroyer of everything within creation. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. But yet, Krishna does things in the spiritual world every day according to time. Because that time in the spiritual world, it's the origin of time. In this world, everything is limited, and therefore everything culminates in misery. In the spiritual world, everything is eternal, and none of these inebrieties, none of the ignorance or sufferings of this world are present there. But time is present there, but not our time. Krishna's form is the source of all form. But in this world, form is temporary. Form causes suffering. But the form of the soul in the spiritual world, being part of Krishna, is the source of all happiness. And it is forever. So in this wonderful verse, Lord Ramchandra is displaying, in the first line, he's displaying being aggrieved. The personality of Godhead, Ramchandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita. How can the source of all bliss be aggrieved? We are potentially always subject to grief. And most people, they don't want to worship a God that's subject to grief. They would rather erase all these conceptions of God having anything to do with being a person. Because if God is free of grief, then knowing God, we could be full of grief. But here we find that God is aggrieved for Sita. And in the spiritual world, the idea of love and separation is actually the deepest grief. But because it's eternal and it's based on the love of the eternal soul for God and God's love for us, it's the highest happiness. It's pure, it's spiritual. We read that when Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he met that one Brahmin who was a devotee of Ram. And this particular Brahmin, he was serving Lord Chaitanya with so much love and devotion, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw how this Brahmin was worshipping Ram with such love and devotion. But he would not eat. And Lord Chaitanya asked him why. He said, because Sita has been abducted and taken hostage by Ravana. And she's in Sri Lanka suffering without Ram. How can I eat when she's in such a situation? He was actually in deep grief. But it was an ecstatic grief. But he was feeling it. So on his tour, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he happened to come across, I believe it was from the Kurma Purana, where it describes that actually before Ravana kidnapped Sita, by the arrangement of Ram, Sita was taken by Agni and entrusted to Parvati and Amaya Sita. An expansion of Sita took her place. Now Ram knows these things. Why is he aggrieved for Sita? Because the inconceivable nature of love is transcendental to knowing things. The perfection of knowing is actually to go beyond knowing. The perfection of knowing is to love, and prema is beyond knowledge. And when we actually attain prema, or when prema is revealed to us by the mercy of Sri Rama, Radhang Gopinath, then knowledge is an instrument to actually enhance that prema. And in this case, the supreme knowledge of Ram, who's the knower of everything past, present, and future, to enhance the love between him and Sita, and to enhance his pastime in such a way that we can intensify our love for Sitaram. The Lord is grieving for the loss of Sita. So it begins with this truth that grief, which is the cause of misery in this material world, is being experienced by Ram on the eternal transcendental platform. And then Srila Prabhupada describes Ram's anger. And this was something Prabhupada from time to time would describe, that people who don't understand the science of bhakti or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they wonder how a devotee can be angry. Because shanti. You know, the Brahman platform of the infinite, all-pervading, absolute truth beyond material existence, its distinctive feature is shanti, complete peace. And there's so much conflict in this war. We see wars. We see so much argumentation and hate based on ideologies, nationalities, religions, politics, racial differences, to circumstantial differences. So much conflict. And last night, Shubha Vilas Prabhu was speaking to in the Prerna festival about the mind. How much war is happening in people's minds with conflicting choices and conflicting opinions and conflicting emotions. So within and without, so much disruption. We want peace. So how could anger be part of that if we're in a state of total peace? But we see the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of all peace. He's becoming angry. And Hanuman, who's his greatest devotee, he was quite angry. And Krishna speaks the whole Bhagavad Gita to teach us how to be peaceful. And at the end, he tells Arjuna to go out and fight and be angry. So that the peace that is within the realm of Prem, the highest realization of the truth, includes being aggrieved, being angry. The gopis, they had passion to please Krishna. And even great ascetics like Narada Muni is worshipping Sukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crest jewel of sannyasis, worshipping the passion of the gopis. Because it's an expression of their love. In this material world, these qualities that we have a tendency to block our perception of the love that Krishna wants to give us. But in a purified state, these same attributes are expressions of the purity of our love. Thank you. Not only was Ram angry, but it is described he had the physical characteristics of anger. His eyes were red. How many of you have seen people get angry and their eyes get red? That's a perverted reflection. And Srila Prabhupada is describing in whatever quality Krishna exhibits or Ram exhibits, it's an expression of his mercy. Ram's punishment, Ram's reward, Ram's smile, and Ram's anger are all reciprocal according to the need of someone, but it's always an act of mercy. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that he's actually equal to everyone, and he reciprocates according to how we surrender. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's love and Krishna's mercy according to what's required, according in time, place, and circumstance. This particular event from Ramayana is when Ram was sitting on the shore of the ocean. A very brief background. In our nearby holy place of Nasik, Ravana abducted Sita. Sita's all-knowing. How is it that Ravana disguised himself as a very saintly sadhu? And Sita believed him. In her, she's the mother of all living beings. She's the Ladini Shakti. How wonderful. Ravana's thinking, her weakness is she likes to serve sadhu, so let me come as a sadhu. And then he took her away. He fought with Jatayu. He brought her to Sri Lanka. When Ram returned with Lakshman, after capturing the deer, the golden deer, Sita was gone. They were searching everywhere. And finally they came to Kishkindha Kshetra, and they made allies with Sugriva and his minister Hanuman and the Vanaras, the vast army of monkeys. In that alliance, Ram helped Sugriva overcome the threats of Bali. Sugriva was made king. And Sugriva promised Ram he would help find Sita. How endearing that the Absolute Truth, who's the source of Mahavishnu, by his mere glance impregnates the entire creation. He doesn't know where Sita is. This is absolutely wonderful. This is the nature of bhakti or love. The Lord himself, who is Achyuta, indestructible, undefeatable, puts himself in vulnerable situations to draw our love. Yashoda Mai was not, even when Putana came, he was a little baby. How Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, seeing this gigantic, enormous demon, they weren't thinking that our little infant killed Putana. They were thinking our little infant was subjected to this demon and God saved him. Must be because we have done pious activities. And they were doing all sorts of pujas to protect Krishna. So Krishna becomes vulnerable to increase the quality of his devotees' prema. So Ram is crying for Sita. And how that inspired the historic devotion of Hanuman. All the great pastimes of Sri Hanumanji. First they had to wait 4 months before searching for Sita because it was the monsoon rain season. Ram is accepting so many of the limitations that we accept. A few days ago, I was at Govardhan Eco Village, and they're planning actually, they're in the middle of all these construction projects, and they have to finish the external work of everything before the monsoons. Because as soon as the monsoons come, you know, basically all construction stops. So here's Ram, Hanuman, Sugriva. We can't look for Sita until the rains stop. And Ram is living on that mountain cave, Malyavanta, just meditating on Sita and chanting Sita's name and the pangs, the grief of separation for 4 months, and actually unable to do anything. And then after the monsoons, Sugriva arranges the monkey soldiers, the Vanaras, to go in the four directions to search for Sita. And eventually they find Sampati, and he describes where is Ravana and where is Sri Lanka. So this incredible search, and then Hanuman's jump across the ocean, and all the tribulations and temptations and obstacles that his determined love overcame. And then in Sri Lanka, the heartbreak of Hanuman seeing the condition of Sita. The anger that it provoked. He was fighting battles with chief generals of Ravana. He had his tail lit on fire. Everything. He faced Ravana directly. He was subjected to his wrath, his punishment. And after using every opportunity in the service of Ram, he set the city on fire, jumped in the ocean, put out his tail, and then came back to Ram. Now, why was Hanuman doing all that? Because Sita was suffering. And because Ram was suffering. It wasn't just a ritual. Hanuman knows that Ram and Sita are above all suffering. But at the same time, above being above suffering, he's suffering. Does that make sense? Sita and Ram suffering from each other is above and beyond their quality of being beyond suffering. Satchit Ananda. The Lord's Ananda is increased when it goes beyond Ananda and he suffers. Krishna comes in the form of Radha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's teaching that this viraha bhava, this love in separation from Krishna, is the deepest ecstatic experience of loving Krishna. During the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Gambira, there's not too much told about him just laughing and smiling, you know, being with Krishna. In the mood of Sri Radha, he was crying. Crying and crying and crying in separation from Krishna. And he's teaching us this is infinitely more ecstatic experience than peace. And it increases and enhances the feeling of feeling oneself in the presence of Krishna. In fact, the presence of Krishna is even in a deeper state when we're feeling separation from Krishna. So Hanuman is a great scholar of all the Vedas, and he's the knower of the absolute truth, but still he is surrendering his whole life and dedicating everything because he's so affected by the grief of Sita and the grief of Ram. And in his expression of love, there's such transcendental anger. Which is totally different than the mood and spirit of anger in this world. In this world, anger is a frustration of our ego and the expectations that our ego has toward other people or circumstances or whatever else. But in the transcendental world, anger is a quality that enhances our love for Krishna and actually is an extension of compassion on behalf of Krishna to help others. So Hanuman returns to Malyavanta, to Kishkindha, and he gives a whole report to Ram and gives the message that Sita spoke to him. Great secrets. And when Ram hears everything Hanuman has done to alleviate the suffering of Sita, Ram is overwhelmed. I have nothing to offer you to reciprocate. I'm living in the forest, in a cave, wearing tree bark. What do I have to give you as a gift? I cannot repay you. All I have is myself. and I will give you myself in the form of my embrace. Ram embraces Hanuman and gives himself. That was the absolute perfection of all of Hanuman's aspirations and prayers, to receive the embrace which was a manifestation of how Ram was pleased with him. Hanuman, as the symbol of all bhakti, he only wanted one result from everything he did, that Sita and Ram were pleased with him. After which they went, they made their plans, and all the armies of Sugriva, along with Ram and Lakshman, they went to the shore of the ocean. They assembled there. And they were wondering, how are we going to cross the ocean? You know, Hanuman could jump over it, but none of the other monkeys could do it. And there were so many hundreds and thousands of them. How are they all going to get across the ocean? Meanwhile, in Sri Lanka, Ravana had his spies. And they saw this vast assembly of monkey soldiers along with Ram and Lakshman. And they were making their plans. Hanuman had just come and burned the whole city, and nobody could do anything. Ravana was sending his most powerful warriors and faced him himself. Still, they could not stop Hanuman. But due to his false ego, Ravana was telling his generals, his soldiers, his ministers, that he caught us off guard. Otherwise, we could have easily destroyed him. And I could easily destroy Ram and Lakshman, whatever anybody else may say. And there's many, many chapters of conversations in regard to this. But Ravana was so deluded by his false ego, he just could not conceive that he could ever lose. And he was so bewildered by his desire to enjoy Sita. He was inquiring from his generals, his family members, and everyone was telling how powerful Ravana was and how powerful they were. And any one of them could kill Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Kumbhakarna, in one sense, was the most sensible of all of them. Because he told Ram that actually it was very immoral and foolish of you to steal Sita away like that. Yeah, to disguise yourself, to abduct her, after distracting, you know, Ram and Lakshman away from her. That was just the wrong thing to do. And actually, my brother, you're a fool for doing that. but still, you've done it. And I myself can easily kill Ram and Lakshman, so don't worry about anything. So he was deluded, but he had some sense to his delusion. All the others were totally yes type of people to Ravana. They would not say anything that would not glorify Ravana. And meanwhile, Vibhishan, the younger brother, is listening to everything. And he was such a great devotee. He was begging, pleading with Ravana, give back Sita. She's the eternal consort of the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. He will destroy you and your whole dynasty. Just give back Sita. That was his one pointed argument. It was the only solution. Ravana thought about it overnight. Vibhishan came the next morning and said the same thing. Ravana brought a whole assembly together. Indrajit, Ravana's son, was calling Vibhishan a traitor and a coward for saying these things. And Indrajit was, he had defeated Indra. He was very powerful. And he was very much the favorite son of Ravana. This was really a family dispute. Now here is Prahashta, the commander-in-chief, and Kumbhakarna, and Indrajit, and Ravana. They're all together. There's hundreds and hundreds of such immensely powerful rakshasas. And Vibhishan was all alone in his opinion. But right in front of everybody, Vibhishan, after being called a coward and a traitor for trying to be the only one to help, he chastised Indrajit. You are the enemy of your own father. Because of him, everything will be destroyed. You are just a young, ignorant child. Stop speaking. And Ravana became so outraged that anyone could defy accepting his greatness. He chastised very severely, and he had red eyes too. There's different varieties of red eyes in the scriptures. His eyes were red. He was angry as fire with Vibhishan. If you were not my brother, I would kill you at this very moment. He called him a traitor. He called him a coward. He called him ignorant. I've given you everything. You are so ungrateful how you say these things. And at that point, Vibhishan understood there's nothing else he could do to serve. Vibhishan is very similar to Duryodhana in the Mahabharata. Vidura. Very similar to Vidura. He stayed on only to try to give good advice and help. You know, the Pandavas were in exile, and he was always trying to help in whatever way he could. Sita's now abducted, and Vibhishan, he stays on because he wants to help. But when he was totally rejected by his brother and his whole family and everybody around, Vibhishan left with four of his ministers to take shelter of Ram. They went across the ocean, and Vibhishan, the five of them, they were just above the ground in the air, and Sugriva and some of the others, they came to see who these people were. They were going to attack. He identified himself. My name is Vibhishan. I'm the brother of Ravana. But I have rejected him, and I have come to seek shelter of Ram, to help him to be reunited with Sita. Please give Ram my message. They went to Ram to give the message. Lord Ramchandra, who is the knower of everything, he asked everyone's advice. What do you think we should do? Because in military warfare, someone as powerful as Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, to actually join your side, that's a huge risk. Sugriva said he should be killed. We can't trust him. And Ram asked others, and more or less they were all saying he should be severely interrogated and tested. Some thought he should be imprisoned. Some thought he should be very much, you know, tested to see what he was really thinking. And others wanted him killed. But no one was favorable. It was unanimous. We cannot accept him. Then Ram asked Hanuman, what is your opinion? Hanumanji, he said, I saw his expression when he was speaking. He said, and I heard his voice. He's sincere. We should immediately accept him as one of our own family members and embrace him. Sugriva went quite wild with anger. Because he's the commander-in-chief, he's responsible. And Hanuman is his minister, his subordinate. And Hanuman was really like contradicting him. But he was mainly concerned about Lord Ram's service. He said, no, we cannot how could we accept? He's a Rakshasa. His nature, even if Ravana insulted him, even if he was brokenhearted and he came to take shelter of you, how could we trust him to fight against his own brother, who his whole life has been his king? To fight against the very nature of his Rakshasa birth and upbringing. No, he cannot be accepted. Ram declared, he has come to take shelter of me. Ram accepted Hanuman's advice. He said, anyone who comes to take shelter of me, anyone who says, my dear Lord, I am yours. For that person, I will protect and give shelter for all eternity. Even if Ravana, what to speak of Vibhishan, comes to take shelter of me, I will give them protection and shelter forever. This is my solemn vow. Please bring Vibhishan. When Sugriva heard this, he was totally transformed. Very emotional. He accepted wholeheartedly, fully, that if Ram is going to give shelter, then I completely accept him. Vibhishan will be our family. What is the mercy of Lord Ram is higher than any consideration or any knowledge of how things work within this creation. Vibhishan was brought down, and he prostrated himself at the lotus feet of Lord Ram, and with folded hands surrendered himself. Ram embraced him. And after hearing Vibhishan's prayers of devotion, Ram told Lakshman to get water from the sea. And he said to Vibhishan that I am going to coronate you the king of Sri Lanka. And after I destroy Ravana and his dynasty and family, you will be the king. And there on the seashore, Ram and Lakshman coronated Vibhishan as the king of Lanka. Sugriva, Hanuman, and all of the Vanaras, they were rejoicing to see this loving exchange. And Vibhishan, with his head down and his palms folded, he was simply, with humility and gratitude, surrendering his heart to Ram. Ram asked Vibhishan about what was going on in Sri Lanka, what is the condition of Sita, what is the powers of the army, and all details. And Vibhishan was describing everything to him, because he knew from the insides. He described to Ram that my brother Ravana, what curses were upon him that made him vulnerable. Then Ram asked Vibhishan. Hanuman and Sugriva asked Vibhishan after this conversation, how are we going to cross this ocean? It was Vibhishan who recommended Lord Ramchandra. He should approach Samudra, Varuna, the god of the ocean, and request passage across the ocean, and the god of the ocean will tell the way. So Hanuman, Sugriva came back to Ram and said, this is what Vibhishan has spoken. Ram wholeheartedly accepted it.
The etiquette of the Supreme Lord that is being displayed just to show by his example. He's the controller of all controllers, and yet he's requesting the permission of the ocean to cross. So taking the advice of Vibhishan, Ram sat on a kusha grass sitting place. Some places says he laid down until, in total meditation, until the presiding deity of the ocean would come forward to tell him the way to cross. He sat there for 3 days and nights. The ocean did not respond. And that brings us to today's verse. Ram was sitting on kusha grass on the sandy shore of the ocean. With such respect and honor for his own creation. The personification of the ocean is Samudra, or Varuna, the Lord of the Sea. Lord Ramchandra did not want to cross over without getting both permission and direction from Varuna. Such culture. And he was fasting. Patiently offering prayers and meditation and fasting out of respect. And Varuna did not respond. That was disrespect. Amani na manadena. Lord Chaitanya taught this principle that we should not expect respect and we should offer all respect. And he practiced it. But when Jagai and Madhai caused pain to Nityananda Prabhu, what was the color of Lord Chaitanya's eyes? They became very red. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes became very red with anger. And he took a Sudarshan chakra to destroy Jagai and Madhai. But then they surrendered. In a very similar way, for Lord Ramchandra, there were so many things. One is, why did he want to cross the ocean? Because Sita was suffering. And the ocean was now not cooperating. And he became an obstacle to relieve Sita of her suffering. There are beautiful parallels with this story in Jagai and Madhai's pastime. Lord Ramchandra, his anger,
he called out to the ocean. Because the ocean is so big and so deep. Besides Hanuman, who could cross over the ocean? And Varuna is the lord of not only the Indian Ocean, he's the lord of all the seas. And actually, most of the earth is the seas, right? The oceans. So I mean, he's like the proprietor of the most space on the planet. Lord Ramchandra, in his rage of mercy, he knew Varuna's he's my beloved devotee, but he's puffed up. He's proud. So much power, so much strength, so much fame, so much wealth. Even when the monkey soldiers and Lakshman saw the rage of Lord Ramchandra, they became very much alarmed. And after chastising Samudra, he said, "On this day, my Sita is suffering. You're not helping. Whatever you have, I have given you. And now you're so proud to think it's your own. I will dry you up of everything." And all my monkey soldiers will simply cross over you. He took his bow and arrow and started shooting arrows into the sea. And along with his red eyes, the sea was churning. Seas are always cold, actually, when you go into the middle of them. The sea became so disturbed by Ram's anger. It actually became totally out of the control of Samudra. Huge waves were tossing. The fish describes here, the snakes, the sharks, the crocodiles. They were all completely agitated because the water was churning. It was becoming hotter and hotter and hotter, and they were all they were all suffering. Still, Samudra did not come. Ram was demanding his personal presence. He took a special arrow, very, very powerful arrow, and when he just strung it and pulled the string without even releasing it, it created earthquakes. On the shore of the ocean, the trees were falling down. The mountains were trembling. The entire earth planet was roaring. And the ocean was totally agitated. And the crocodiles and the whales and the fish and the sharks and the snakes and the rakshasas living in the ocean and everybody else was completely helpless. And it is described in Ramayana at that point, the ocean tried one last time to exhibit its strength. And there were these huge waves coming toward Ram. And Ram, in his anger, stood there, and gradually the ocean just started boiling and shriveling. And at that point, from the ocean emerged Samudra. It's very beautiful. He had red garlands and red robes, golden ornaments, and he came before Ram and took shelter. And he begged forgiveness. He said, the greatness of the ocean had caused him false pride, wherein he did not recognize that he was just an insignificant dependent servant on the Supreme Personality of God. Samudra surrendered to Ram. Ram said, he was standing there still with his bow and arrow pulled. He said, where am I going to shoot this last arrow? I have to put it somewhere. And Varuna said, in the northern section, there are so many demoniac people who are polluting my waters by drinking it and influencing it by their association. Shoot it there. He shot it. And according to Ramayana, where the arrow landed, it dried up all the water in that section. It actually became a beautiful place. Because Ram's arrow, it cleansed it, and then it became a beautiful, holy place. And Samudra told Ram that among your monkey soldiers is Nala. He is the son of Vishwakarma, the architect, the engineer of the demigods. He has the same powers as his father. He has the same architectural and engineering creativity. Assign him to organize and direct the building of a bridge across me. He said, whatever you put on the waters will float. And I give my word, nobody, none of the creatures within the ocean will cause any harm. We will give you a totally peaceful terrain to build your bridge over. And with his prayers and chanting Lord Ram's holy names, Varuna went back into the ocean. And from that place, they began building the bridge. It is interesting that among all these hundreds and thousands, perhaps millions of monkey soldiers, they were all 100% united, like in a state of samadhi, one-pointed attention, cooperate with one another to build that bridge. They were lifting mountains and floating it. They were getting tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of giant trees. And by the arrangement of Nala, they were tying them together to make this bridge. It was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. Such cooperation. Just to assist Ram in being reunited with Sita. And after the bridge was created, they crossed over together, and the great battle of Sri Lanka was fought. Srila Prabhupada, he compared his mission to the mission of Ram. Sita is bhakti. She is bhakti devi, the supreme source of all love and devotion. The internal energy of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, his mission on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj was to return Sita to Ram. To mercifully enlighten the world to understand that we cannot be happy by exploiting God's energy. In kidnapping Sita, Ravana was exploiting Ram's energy. And Hanuman was serving Ram's energy by reuniting that energy with Ram. And Srila Prabhupada also crossed oceans like Hanuman to bring us all back to Ram, to bring us back to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, and he was talking to all of us, and I believe on his behalf he's talking to all of you today. He said, in this mission, Krishna only gave me monkeys to work with. We shouldn't be proud. We are Srila Prabhupada's monkey shoulders. And in his service, it is our duty, our obligation, and it's our path of spiritual purification, that we have to put aside our egos and we have to focus our lives on working together to build this bridge to connect Krishna's energy back with Krishna. And in building the bridge and fighting the battle of Sri Lanka, it wasn't an easy thing. There were so many challenges, so many sacrifices, so many pains. But they were all united and that is what is being expected of us. Srila Prabhupada also writes that Ravana's army had the most advanced, dangerous, destructive weapons in the universe. They had mystical astras. And in Ram's army, there was two bows and arrows. There was two bows. Ram had a bow, and Lakshman had a bow. Ravana, every one of his millions of Rakshasa soldiers was fully trained. Most of them had supernatural mystic powers. They had bows, arrows, javelins, bombs, everything. And the monkey soldiers, all they had was their teeth, their claws, and beyond that, they would just pick up trees and throw them, or pick up stones and throw them. They had no weapons. So how is it possible for them to win? And Srila Prabhupada gives this example that however materially equipped we are on any level, whether it be intelligence or money, wealth, property, skills, however materially equipped we are, if we're not on the side of Ram, if we're not in the side of Dharma, in due course of time, we will be destroyed. And whether we have or don't have, if we're united in the loving service of the Lord, it's 100% we will be victorious in the end. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu paid Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Param Vijayate, supreme victory, and all glory to the Sankirtan movement. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the Panchatattva, this was their weapon, the holy names of Krishna. Lord Ram had his bow and arrow. He killed Kumbhakarna with his arrows. He killed Ravana with his arrow. Krishna killed so many. With his Sudarshan Chakra. Narasimha Dev with his nails. Varaha Dev with his tusk. Parasuram with his axe. Many incarnations in Western scriptures describes the Lord destroying with thunderbolts and killing demons. Whether it's Shishupal, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. We are in the era of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya didn't carry any weapons. Nityananda Prabhu didn't carry weapons. Their weapon was the holy names of Krishna. And at this
Similar lila as we're reading about today, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his eyes were like red hot coals. So angry to see the injustice on Nityananda Prabhu. He actually called for a Sudarshan Chakra. That was a rare occasion. He was going to kill Jagayan Madhai as Lord Ramchandra. Thinking of the suffering of Sita, he was about to destroy the ocean. Nityananda Prabhu, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya that if you kill Jagai and Madhai, everybody is more or less like them. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they didn't come to kill demons, they came to kill the demoniac propensities within our hearts so that we become devotees. And that's the rare message of Jagai and Madhai's pastime. Shishupal, Dantavakra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they were killed by the weapons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of mercy. But that same mercy is manifested in an even more intimate way. Because Jagai and Madhai is non-different than them. They had the same demoniac propensities. But Paramakaruna Pahundui Jananitai Gorachandra. Supremely merciful with the weapon of the holy name and their loving forgiveness. Instead of killing them with weapons, they transform them into loving, pure devotees with the holy names. Have you ever heard of a samadhi for Shishupal? Or Hiranyakashipu? Or even Ravana? But yet, in Katwa, there's a samadhi for Madhai. And even 525 years later, devotees are going there to beg for the blessings and mercy of Jagai and Madhai. Because they became such pure devotees by the power of the holy names of the Lord. And the power of the holy names, which is the weapon. Has been entrusted to all the devotees. We are like the monkeys of Lord Ram. He has entrusted us the weapon of the holy name to fight his battle. That is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's lila. And Srila Prabhupada is our commander-in-chief. We are so happy and excited to please him. And I will end class at this moment. Thank you very much. Shall we go to battle together with the weapons of the holy names? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Sri Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Thank you.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, very loudly please. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.